Hello there, baseball fans. And as you can tell by the sound of the organ, it's that time again. That's right. It's time for a little bit of baseball. Welcome to Inside the Park, RSG's Inside the Park. I'm your host, Hank Davis. And for the next half hour or so, we're going to talk a little bit of baseball all around the league. Here we are in the second week of the season, thereabouts. We are in the week of April 14th. That's right, the week of April 14th. By the time we've shown this, what's happened already is tax day has gone by. Okay, Easter is on its way, and baseball is just getting started. We are right now, if this was a football game, we would be in the first half of the first quarter of the new season. So we've got a whole lot of baseball that's going on. We've got a whole lot of baseball still left to play, but there's already been some that's been played that we're excited, and I'm excited to talk to you about today. You know, hopefully the blizzard season is over. You know, we've had some games that were canceled while the teams were getting out there to some of these Midwest cities like Minnesota, where they had to cancel the game while the team was in flight, while the visiting teams were in flight to get there. Okay, so now all of a sudden we're hoping that the blizzard season is over and has passed, and we can get on down to some good old ball, good old fashioned ball playing. So let's get started and let's start to break down the season as we know it right now. As I said right now, as I said before, very early in the season, the first half of the first quarter, some teams between 16 and 20 ball games have been played at the making of this podcast. But there's been some exciting things that's happened so far. You know, last time we talked about a couple of streaks at this time, good news and bad news on the opposite side of streaks has come to that's now been broken. Chris Davis of the Baltimore Orioles finally breaks through and gets a hit at the 54 plate appearances. He got a hit off of Rick Porcello, a base hit at the 54 plate appearances. Later on, I think he got a home run. But he's kind of back off that schneid a little bit. And I know I heard a lot of people say, why would they keep playing him? But when you got a player that was MVP caliber just a few years ago in Chris Davis, you got to give him an opportunity to break through it, especially so early in the season, okay? Regardless of if you're a Baltimore Oriole, if you are in that tough American League East, do you have an opportunity? If you're not going to compete, he could be a good bargaining chip at the trade deadline. You got to get him going. He's still, when he hits the ball, he's lethal. He figures it out. He could be a good bargaining chip for you down the road if you're not going to make it. And also, Whit Merrifield. And to all you Whit Merrifield fans out there, I apologize if I said he sounded like a choir. His name sounded like a choir director. But to his credit, Whit Merrifield did break George Brett. He did his hitting streak did finally come to an end at 31 games, but he did break George Brett's all-time Kansas City Royal hitting streak record, which was at 30. He went 0-6 against Seattle this week at Kauffman Stadium, one day after setting the club record and again surpassing George Brett's record that had held for the Royals since 1980. So congratulations, and too bad you couldn't keep it going. You know, and that's good talk, you know, as far as what Whit Merrifield did. But coming far, far, far short of two records of the Major League record. The National League record set by Pete Rose, which I believe is 45 games hitting streak. And then the big one set by Joe DiMaggio of the New York Yankees. For you youngsters out there who don't know, 56 straight games with a hit. And just kind of give you some comparison there. Right now we play 162 games in the season. They didn't play 162 games. They played 152 games, I believe, 150 games when Jolton Joe played. So just almost half the season, a little bit less than half the season, he got a hit in all those games, okay? Just an amazing feat that we get close to it, but I'm at that point right now that unless you're at the 40-game mark or the 45-game marks as far as hits, let's not talk about it. But for Whit Merrifield, great accomplishment, a good job, okay? So I told you guys the last time, we don't want to get too much into the standings, because unless you start getting 40 and 50 games in, you know, you're really not talking about nothing. Again, this is like you're playing If you're in any other sport, you're in the first quarter, you go up 3-0 if you're in football, or you go up 1-0 if you're in hockey, or you've got you a 6-8 point lead in the first quarter. Clearly, it doesn't mean anything. Teams start to figure themselves out. But there are some intriguing stories and intriguing storylines to at least address at this time. And let's just do that, shall we? So let's just look at the American League East. This to me, you've got two of the best teams in baseball in Boston and New York that's playing in this league, in this division. But what gets me about what's going on in the East right now is, oh, by the way, the Tampa Bay Rays is now got the best record in baseball. Now, we, like I said before, you're 16-18 games in. There's nothing to really write home about. But it does kind of lend to what's going on with the Rays. We're going to talk about that a little bit more in detail. There's nothing to really talk about, in my opinion, in the American League Central. Again, one of the weakest divisions. To me, it's still Cleveland and everybody else. And I know some of you out there saying, wait a minute. Minnesota's got a nice young team. I still think the Twins are a year away, and I believe the Twins still need to make some moves right now. And you know, at the trade deadline, provided that they're close. Okay, you've got a bunch of teams that's 500 sub 500, and the Cleveland Indians. Okay, Cleveland made a push several years ago when they lost the World Series. Again, they lost the World Series to the Cubs. The Cubs didn't win it. The Indians lost it. I don't have no dog in the fight there. I'm just letting you know. Okay. Then you got my other team that we talked about a little bit the last time we broke it down, the Seattle Mariners. Now, they are an intriguing team as well. Again, the Mariners and the Rays, I do believe, and we'll talk about a little bit later, have an opportunity to really make a playoff push. Okay. Simply because of what they've kind of done under the radar, not getting that great big gigantic free agent signing, but what their farm systems have been doing and what they've been able to parlay into great prospects with trades. When you go look over into the National League and again, I'm not going to talk about Houston because Houston is Houston. We know what Houston's going to be, provided, you know, unless they have some sort of major injury or something like that. But you look at the National League East, and that's going to be a little bit intriguing as well. Most folks have Atlanta coming out of that division based upon what we saw last year. But we know that the Mets made some moves. You got Robinson Cano back over there. The DeGrom pitching over there in Syndergaard. Philly's made some moves. Now, you know, we talked about Bryce Harper being over there as well as Andrew McCutchen. And, you know, it looked like they're trying to resurge themselves. But again, being as early in the season that we just have to keep watching. Few games over 500. You got the Mets leading by a half a game over Philly, who was a half a game, you know, in Atlanta. And they're just all in a pillowcase right now. What you expect, 16 to 20 games into the season. Milwaukee doing the thing. Another thing that's kind of interesting this early in the season is what we're seeing with the Padres. The Padres right now are leading the West, you know, whoop-de-doo. And I know that's the bounce with Manny Machado being over there. But again, you know, some reservations on how good is that team going to be and are they going to be able to sustain it. But it's something to have fun with and talk about early in the year. Now, what I do want to talk about, I want to go back to the Tampa Bay Rays. Because the Tampa Bay Rays, you know, several years ago when there was the three of us doing the Inside the Park piece, we had an opportunity to interview Jonah Carey. Jonah Carey is the author of the book, The Extra 2%, which basically is kind of the, and I'm not taking nothing away from Jonah, but he kind of goes on what the Tampa Bay Rays did based upon like of a spinoff or a building up of the money ball that was happening with the Oakland A's, okay? Except you had like Wall Street types that was running the Tampa Bay Rays and was doing a lot of buying and selling, you know, sell high, buy low, or buy low, sell high, and just doing a real good analytical and sabermetric idea of building their baseball team. This worked out very well some 6 years ago in which the Tampa Bay Rays made it to the World Series and eventually lost to the Philadelphia Phillies. And now we're starting to see a resurgence of that again. This is a very exciting team they're watching. It's early in the year again, but it's something, again, we want to keep our eye on. All right, what the Tampa Bay Rays are doing right now. And they can really serve themselves well by continuing to really win ball games early in all of April and as much of May as possible. Why is that? because the standings are showing us that the Boston Red Sox right now is having a little bit of a World Series hangover. All right. At last check, you know, they were just a little bit below 500. Boston is now 6-11 at the time of this podcast. Probably win a couple more ball games, and you know that the Boston Red Sox are going to be there all year. Okay. Again, we talked a little bit in our last podcast about the mass unit that is now the New York Yankees. This concerned the Rays well if they are going to be serious contenders throughout the American League. Again, you have a wash, in my opinion, in what you have in the American League Central. You have the Indians and everybody else, and then you go over to the American League West, okay, where you have a couple of playoff teams in Houston, in Oakland. All right, but you also now have that Seattle team that looks like they're trying to make a resurgence too. The Rays can serve themselves well if they can just take care of everybody else. The Yankees are going to be the Yankees. You know, when the weather starts to get warm, you know you're going to have Boston there. But your wild card teams, for a team like the Rays to really start to make a playoff push, is going to be the Oaklands and how they respond this year, and it's Seattle for real. And if that's not the case, or if you yourself, Tampa Bay, are for real, that could be real fun to watch. So the Oakland, your Oaklands, your Seattles, and Tampa Bay about that last playoff spot. Now, if anybody else is coming out there, yeah, we got to see. I'm not sold as much on Texas as they used to be, the Bashers, and I've already given my opinion on the Angels, okay, and Brad Ausmus, and they're doing exactly what I thought they're going to do. Okay, they can start off stronger. They're going to start off weak, and that's just going to be a very frustrating team. We've seen it here in Michigan with the Detroit Tigers with Brad Ausmus when he's had talent, but I'm not going to spend no more time there. I think I spent enough time. But, again, the best record right now in baseball belonging to the Tampa Bay Rays. We'll keep an eye on that, and we'll look at that and see how much that changes. We're also going to see, obviously, you know, how are these injuries to the Yankees going to really impact what kind of push they're going to be able to make. They don't want to get too far behind in the standings. And they're playing 500 ball right now, which is a testament to the talent that they have. But they've got to get some guys back. Okay, they're talking about, Stanton and some of those guys may be coming back early part of May. But we'll see. They can't get too far behind, especially if Boston starts to surge. And if Tampa Bay stays as strong as they have shown early in this season. You know, last time we spoke again, we talked about Christian Yelich. We talked about Mike Trout. But Christian Yelich has lost his mind since he's left Miami. Since he's left by Miami. I know he was on fire, and we talked about him being on fire. But just this past week, the young man hits 3 home runs and records 7 RBIs on Monday, April 15th, which was not just tax day, but it was also Major League Baseball's observance of Jackie Robinson Day. And he just clowned. I mean, he went to town. 7 RBI and 3 home runs. I know I don't know. Now, and I thought Christian Yelich was a nice player when he was in Miami, but I don't think anybody really expected him to really, really go to town the way he's gone to town this season. I mean, he has really, really upped his game. He was, again, people say, well, he was the MVP last year. Yeah, but I mean, he has really doubled down on that this year and really putting together a nice early season. You know, you don't want to see him get a play he doesn't get hurt, but he is really putting it together for Milwaukee. And, you know, they were just a hair away last year from getting to the World Series. So we'll see if this young man can absolutely get them to the next level. So now what I want to talk about is we're going to what I call our seventh inning stretch. Okay, seventh inning stretch is where I really want to kind of like break down one topic and just kind of get you to thinking a little bit. So tonight's seventh inning stretch is about no hitters. I really want to talk about no hitters because already early in this year, and granted, it's early in the year, but already early in this year, we've had several pitchers get into the seventh inning, get into late in the ball game. And then granted, they may have thrown over 100 pitches, but here comes the manager. Here comes the manager, and he pulls the guy. He pulls the guy. The reliever comes in, blows the no-hitter, and there you have it. All right. And I've seen this happen. I saw Dave Roberts do it last year with the Dodgers. I saw a couple of managers do it this year. And the question I asked is, how important are no-hitters? Now, if I don't know many, how many of you out there are bowlers, but if you are a bowler, perfect game in bowling is 300. That means you've gone the whole game 12 strikes. That means you've gone 9 strikes, and then in the 10th frame, you've thrown 3 strikes in the 10th. Can you imagine if you've gotten to the 9th frame, all right, you're down to your last 3 strikes, and then somebody else decides to come and bowl those 3 strikes for you, all right? And that's the one thing I want to think about. And now that might seem kind of trivial for us out here, but I'm thinking about if I'm a professional pitcher, and I'm trying to, I've got a chance to throw a no-hitter. Now, I don't care if it's in April. I don't care if it's in October. Okay? You want to really pull me out to possibly preserve my arm for the rest of the season. That's one argument. But the other, argument is truly, what kind of legacy does that leave me with? Okay? So I wonder about that. Now, I know that there has been a lot of concern about Tommy John, but baseball is different than it was back in the day in that you got guys throwing year-round. You got guys that's playing winter ball. You got guys that's just, they never stop playing, and that's all they do. So they're putting more stress on their arms. But I guess I'm looking at, you got a chance to make history at the major league level, and you've never done this before. And unless you're out of gas, I guess my question would be, before you're going to take me, out the game, let me give up that hit. Okay? Let me blow that game, especially when we're talking about early in the year. And I've seen it happen so many times where this used to be something that the fans could get behind. I don't care whose team you were rooting for. If a pitcher had a no-hitter going to the seventh, this is the time you want to watch. And these managers are pulling these guys out. And they're saying stuff like, well, he was erratic. They just wasn't getting around on him and that sort of thing. But it's like, it's a no-hitter. It's a no-hitter at the major league level. You're playing against major league hitters, and you take me out the game. Me personally, I'd be livid. And it's like, you know, I might blow my arm out in the next game. Okay? Or I may not. I think about Andres Galarraga, okay, who the pitcher for the Detroit Tigers that had a perfect game going, okay? He had a perfect game going, and the umpire's call cost him a perfect game. He was never going to be a great pitcher. He never, that game never got him to his next contract. Okay. But the problem was that it left him without having something, without having a part of history, of baseball history. Okay. Now he's only known as a blown call, and he goes off with everybody else. Okay. But that's my point. It's like when you have, that sort of opportunity, let's go for it. Let's do it. Let's try to make this happen. And you know, we talk about the Tommy John versus the pitching quality. It's like it there's no guarantees. There's no guarantees, and I think that you give these pitchers an opportunity. So, we're gonna move on to our closer, and I'll make sure to get the proper name. If the name escapes me, you all know who he is. You can send that to me. His first name is not Andres. That's just, no, that's the part I do. No. But I want to move on to our closer for today. And the closer tonight is we're going to talk about the legacy of Jackie Robinson. Now, you see, I got my Dodgers cap on tonight. And this past Monday, marked Major League Baseball's remembrance of Jackie Robinson. It's just a traditional event. In Major League Baseball, commemorating and honoring the day Jackie Robinson made his Major League debut on April 15th, on opening day in 1947. Baseball is really doing a nice job of commemorating things. Last week, our last show, they commemorated, and have been doing it all season, commemorating 150 years of organized baseball, professional baseball. And this past week, and they've been doing this now since 2004, representing, you know, recognizing Jackie Robinson's first season in the major leagues on April 15th. Everyone, all the players in the league plays, wears the number 42, Jackie Robinson's number. Obviously, the first major league, black major league baseball player in the modern era. The Dodgers played the Reds on Jackie Robinson Day this past Monday, April 15th, which is kind of also, which also significant. Again, the Reds played the first professional baseball game, which we talked about 150 years ago, and now they're commemorating played the series with the Dodgers on Jackie Robinson Day. Which again, that to me is baseball has done a really nice job of doing all of that. To talk a little bit about Jackie Robinson, it also commemorated his birthday is this year, 100 years old. To give you some perspective, Jackie Robinson died at the age of 55. Okay. And so just let you know that the stressors and everything of what he had to do, what he had to accomplish, I believe took a toll on him, again, one man's opinion, but that it had his wife out at Dodger Stadium to commemorate the day they brought her out on the field. She's over 90 years old now. And it was really always, it's a nice event to see. It's always a nice event to recognize what Jackie Robinson did. Jackie Robinson, as we all know, made a path for players like Hank Aaron and Willie Mays and Barry Bonds and, you know, Andrew McCutchen and Ken Griffey and King Griffey Jr. And you can just name them all and all and all. And, you know, other Negro League players that had an opportunity to play in the league because of Jackie Robinson, Satchel Paige and the like. So this is always, you know, a very, very special event that baseball puts on. I'm commemorating it. You know, I'm wearing my Dodgers cap. I don't have a cap from a Brooklyn Dodgers cap, but I'll probably have to get me one of these days. But again, a very fine event for baseball early in the season. So that's our show for today. Stay tuned to these RSG networks. We will Inside the Park will be coming to you quite often now. As things unfold in baseball, we will be breaking it down to you. And I'll let you know what I see. And stay tuned. And we will give you our baseball upfront and personal. Okay. So until next time, this is Hank Davis. That's the ball game, folks. And be careful and drive home safe.